Alberta, sir. Thank you. So, alrighty. First and foremost, what I'm going to do is just open up in prayer because this message is weighty. And I want to make sure that, A, I, personally, come off appropriate. And secondly, that everybody here gets to hear what the heart of God is saying. Because I don't want you to hear what I have to say. Good? Amen? Lord, Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for your word, first and foremost, God. We thank you that it shines light in those dark places, God. It brings revelation, God. It continues to train us and guide us, Father. We thank you for all the provision that is found in it, God. I pray, Lord, that first and foremost, your vessel would be attuned to you, Father, to be able to share what it is that your heart is, God, and what you are saying to your people today, God. Let these words be yours and yours alone. And I pray, God, that each heart here today, God, whether listening online or in the present, Father, would be receptive to hear what it is you are saying, God. So, Father, have your way with us, Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us. We thank you for all that you do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, this one-shot wonder, it's not a series. This isn't going to be a long-term teaching. It's just today. It's going to be on something that I made up the term. I made the term up. I don't want you to think I, again, clarification. So sorry. I made a term up, but you'll understand the term and hopefully you'll respect the term enough to not use it in your common everyday practice, but be aware of it. Sound good? Okay. Can we agree that Christianity today is being mocked and ridiculed across the board? We can agree, right? Whether it's on how the Christians are taking stances on things that are pertaining to the world, whether it's political, non-political, or just in their own houses, the things that are going on in their own houses. Christians are either not doing enough or showing enough love and support, or we're doing too much, right? We're going over and above and participating in things that we shouldn't. All of this was created because of those who I dub Sinos. Sino. C-I-N-O. Sino. Now, because I know my house, everybody here knows what a rhino is, right? So what's a Sino? There you go. Christian in name only. This issue has crept up because of people who call themselves Christians, but they're only Christian in name only, right? They profess a belief in Christ and then move up, obtain leadership positions in churches, start to get on boards, get on all these influential positions, right? And these start to create an outward expression or an outward movement that showcases the church of Christ in a way that it is not Christ. Have we all witnessed and seen this? Do we not agree right here and right now that that is exactly why every single one of you today will not call yourself a Christian? Right? You won't. Why? Because you don't want to be associated with Christians. Right? And I put air quotes up. That's an appropriate use of air quotes. Christians. Because the so-called Christians, in name only, have done a hatchet job on the word Christian to the point where the real Christians, i.e. everybody who's here, yes, hands up if you're a true one, right? Okay? You don't even want to associate. Well, here's my empowering message for you today. How many people are going to go with me when we start kicking the Sinos out? How about it's about time we start cleaning house? Amen? Take our word back. It's our word. We earned it. We actually do the things that God has called us to do. We walk out in faith. Amen? We practice what we preach. We stand on the gospel of truth and we live our lives accordingly. And you know what? These people, Cenos, I'm sick and tired of them. And I hope you all are too. But here's what it is. I can't just end the message there, right? Because that would be bad. I'm just giving you guys like marching orders to go beat up people that are calling themselves Christians. It's going to look like a hate crime on the measure of sides that we don't need in our lives, right? Okay. But I believe we have a way to do it. And this is what I'm going to do today. My hope is that what God has given me to share with you and my objective is to get you guys equipped. I thought it was really awesome what God was saying today in worship. Worship is our warfare. Praise is our weapon. We're getting equipped. Amen? We're going to be equipped and ready to go do battle, but we're going to have to clean house. And this is a long way coming because I think this atmosphere of standing your ground and taking back what the enemy has stolen is going to be a common theme for probably the next couple months, maybe next couple years even. Amen? Because we got to. Because if we don't, I mean, we see what the world's doing now. Does anybody really enjoy what's going on? Okay, well, it's about time we do something about it. And stop doing this. I'm just going to pray. Okay, God wants you to go do something about it. There's your answer. If you've been praying, God's going, go do something about it. Go be an impactful player. I love your position. You're a secretary in a school. A school that wants to indoctrinate and do all this stuff. And here's my sister in the Lord. How's that working for you? Stalwart. Not moving. Not budging. Even amidst your current challenge, you have a Cino. Right? Time to clean house. Time to call them out. Amen? We on board? All right, good. Then hearts are prepared. Colossians 3. First thing we got to do is we got to uncover what is this. What is a Christian in name only? How does scripture determine it? Because I don't want you coming out of here and going with your worldly wisdom eye of how you think it looks and what it's supposed to see and represent and what God says. Because here's the issue. You start doing that, you're starting to operate as a Christian in name only. That's dangerous. We don't play their way. We have to play God's way. Amen? So let's start at 1 and going through to 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We get this immediate open end of where our mind and our life is at, right? If we are a Christian, which by the way, Colossians, right? This is to the letter to the church in Colossae. Yes? It's not to the guy who doesn't know Jesus at all. It's not to the unbelievers. This is to the house of believers. Keep that in mind. Okay? Keep this in mind. This is going to be a common thread. So we're talking about those who call on the name of Jesus who actually believe in Jesus as Christ as Lord. This is important. Okay? So we're getting this, right? How we represent is based on your association to calling on the name of Christ. Got it? It means you're calling on him. Verse 2 is really important, right? What does verse 2 say? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That means what's being addressed is we have a problem here in the church of Colossae. What is going on? Your mind should be on heavenly things. And instead, you're focused on earthly things. This is very, very important. Okay? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You might want to highlight that part. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. It's a lot to digest, but let's start with the very, very core thing. Just because we exist here on this world does not mean we identify with it. When it says you're dead, right? You're dead to this world and you're now alive in Christ, right? That dead does not mean a bump on the log that doesn't have any effective plan or purpose. Different kind of dead. Has anybody ever like, you have. Can I pick on you for a moment? From your times of holding hot plates? The fingertips, the nerve endings to your fingertips are, or dead. Right? Because you actually have no sense or feeling in it anymore. You're still functional. You still can move. But they're no longer affected or receiving anything from the outside world. You have spiritual fingers. You have spirit fingers. Okay? But think about it. We create dead, the term dead, as deceased or dead. It's not the correct term. The term dead here means removed from. Right? Detached from. We're not part of the world. Right? So, our relationship is what is being talked about. You're not physically dead, but your relationship with the world is dead. How do I translate this? Men. Hands up. Put your hands up. If you're a man. Okay. Good. I have your attention. Awesome. Imagine if you are married, you're married. If you're not married, imagine being married. Okay? And you're committed to that person. Is it okay for you to go, while married, and pursue other relationships? Not okay. All right, ladies, hands up. Okay, married or unmarried, is it okay, if you're committed in that relationship, to go pursue other relationships? No. Okay, oh, it means you are cheating on them. From the house, the mouth speaks. Good. I like hearing that word. Thank you, sir. Nobody here would appreciate that feeling, yes? Of that person whom you are confidently attached to, that is your person, that you are going around and finding out that they're committed to other people. This is what this is talking about. When we talk about that relationship is dead and severed, it means you don't go back to it for anything. You don't return to it for anything. There's no benefit that's going to come from it. You're committed to another. You're now committed to Christ. Now, when it talks about putting to death these members, right? Fornication, all this stuff, right? How many people get there and they get this list of, oh man, that's all bad stuff and some of it I might do. Right? You think that that's a problem, right? You think that that might be what's being addressed here. That's not what's being addressed here. Okay? It's attached to the sons of disobedience. I want to point this out because this is important. If we're going to talk about these people who are Christian in name only, we need to understand their position. This is their position. If they're Christian in name only, are they standing up for the right things of God? Are they going to stand up? Or are they going to make excuses for their behavior? See, this is where this is important. Why do we need to know this? It's not a weapon that we go ahead and we beat somebody with and go, well, you're a fornicator. You're going to go to hell if you don't. Look, I'll be honest with you. I could say that, and I would have scriptural backing to support me. But do you want to know who's the judge? God's the judge. Is it wrong? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. However, What should a Christian do? What does a Christian do? No. It's a real simple process, and everybody in this room knows what to do. What's the first step? Begins with an R. Repent. Second thing you do is turn around. And the third thing you do is get away from it. Right? Because it's a relationship that's part of the world's system. Right? We're operating in something that the world is, and it goes against our relationship to Christ. So I go away from that, and I go back to Christ. Good! That's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. But what does a Christian in name only do? They find a way to excuse it. They find ways to make excuses for why it's okay. Christians that go ahead and move in with other people and are having relationships, okay, fine, right? It's your choice. You do what you want to do with it. However, don't excuse it with, well, we're going to get married anyway, so what's the harm? What's the Bible say? It says to do it correctly. It brings honor to God. By not doing it, you're not bringing honor to God. That's all there is to it. I don't want to focus on that because I don't want it to be the subject. It's not about that specific subject, right? What we're talking about is these attributes and these actions. The first part is all these actions, but that's actually not the problem. It is a problem, but that's a world problem, right? This is the way the world operates. Can we agree? All those things in that passage are all about the world's operation. But the second list, anger, wrath, malice, all those things, right? It's not a separate list. Those are more like the lead-up attributes. Those are more of the presentational side. And this is where the Christians in name only try to advocate for their behavior. Because what they do is they use this kind of stuff to make an excuse for their future problematic behavior. What do I mean? Anger. The first thing on there, right? Put off these. Anger. How many people in this house have been angry? How many people would say they have an anger issue? Okay. All right. Now, being angry. Is there a problem with being angry? Why? Right? Don't sin in your anger, right? And what's the common reason why Christians today go ahead and say, oh, I can be angry, it's okay, because Jesus got angry, right? See? Christians in name only. Because that's what's wrong with the that's our problem. We stopped making an actual decisive decision to go, no, it's not okay. Did Jesus do that? Yes. But what was the reason? They were defiling the house of God. Jesus had a righteous indignation because he prized the things of God over anything that the world had to offer. And that's worth fighting for. That's worth getting angry for. Hey, buddy in the back, your hand was up. What's the last thing you were angry about? Let's clarify. Was it about God's house being defiled? No. Didn't have anything to do with God at all. There's my point. But we can't be angry, wrongfully so, and then stand on a justification, well, Jesus was angry. So I can be too. You're trying to compare a tomato to not even. Like, I'm going watermelon. Okay? Like, color, size, sweet. So, like, they're on far different spectrums of the equation, okay? Not even close. The only comparison you could say is that they're both what? A fruit. Well, they're both angry. Okay, but there's a very large difference between those two, would we agree? Nobody's putting watermelon slices on their BLT. Right? Not bacon, lettuce, watermelon? Anybody want to try that one out? Sounds delicious. No, it's not good. Okay? The issue is that a Christian in name only will exhibit those attributes, but what they will then do is they will use a scripture like that to excuse themselves out of it. Because they know enough of the word to basically use it as a scapegoat. Here's the problem. That's not the way this works. Okay? So, Colossians 2. Here's some more examples. Colossians 2. We're gonna go a little bit shorter this time. Not so much scripture reading. Okay, 6-8. You don't have to go far. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I love this. Do you see how this letter is working in each of these topics? What's the premise? The first part is he is saying to you what should be. Right? Here's what you should be doing. This is how you should be operating. Right? We have a Christian behavior. We're supposed to be exhibiting this correct behavior. However, reality hits. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells... I went too far. Sorry. 8. That's it. Traditions of men, basic principles of the world, right? What does that mean? What is philosophy? You're pulling out people who, it's just worldly logic and reasoning. That's it. Worldly logic and reasoning. Okay? You can pull up any author and anyone who's a philosophical prodigy of whatever science under the sun. Science technically is just philosophy. Because all it is just logic and deduction and reasoning and world system. Right? However, it's absent of something. What's it missing? It's missing Christ. You're absolutely right. Because it's not based around the prominent knowledge that Jesus tells us we are above the things of this world. We do not operate in the physical restraints of this world. We have been set free. We are now what? Supernatural beings. That means I don't have to operate according to the philosophical ideals of this world and how it thinks and operates. And nor should you. And I love the fact that the author put this in as the world's going to try to do what? Cheat you. What does cheating mean? What's happening if you've been cheated? Well, not being loyal, but you, when you've been cheated, that means usually you've been what? You've been tricked, bamboozled, right? That usually means something that you should have had somebody else took, right? You had it, and now you've been cheated out of it. You don't have it anymore, is what has happened. Okay? So what were you cheated out of? Does anybody know what you were cheated out of here? In this example? It's the one thing we all have. We all have the same amount of it. Time and your resources. Cause think about this. Christians in name only, okay? Espouse Christ, espouse their faith and belief in God, but they will exhaust an inordinate amount of time and resources towards things that are beneficial for the kingdom? Nope. Usually they're beneficial to themselves or to some worldly cause. Look, I'm all about supporting people who are suffering from breast cancer, but I will not donate a dime to Susan G. Komen. Why? Because it doesn't help anybody. It raises awareness. I'm pretty sure the world's aware of breast cancer by now. Pretty sure that we all know breast cancer's a thing and that anybody can have it, male or female. Look, I'm pretty sure that's done. We don't need to continue donating to that cause anymore. Not that it was really a good cause anyway, because it was just raising awareness. No money goes at all to help a single research campaign. None. But so many Christians go, I'm doing my good part. I'm giving to this charity. I'm a good Christian because I gave to this charity. Look, I'm in here and I'm preaching you guys, telling you, get off of Disney and get off of this stuff and all that junk. Why? Because what are they doing with your money? You're getting a crappy resource and they're putting their money into abortion mills and stuff. Guess what you're doing? You're supporting abortion. Whoa. No, that's a fact. Whether you agree with me or not, that's not up to me. I'm just telling you what the Lord convicted me of. And I hate to say this, guys, you may not be aware of this, but do you know who belongs to Disney? ESPN. Sorry, stop watching sports. I don't know what to tell you. Take it up with the Lord. It's not me. Okay? But your resources, your money, your time, all of that stuff, right? And here's the catch. The Christian in name only, they'll support themselves with all these emotionally filling and gratifying things because it makes them feel good about themselves or whatever, right? But the second you call them in the question, they tell you, why are you so judgy? Because real Christians apparently were judgy. Did you know that? You're judgy. Stop judging me. Right? And the other thing this is related to, right, is the Christians in name only, what are they doing? They're also spending energy and time in the world systems trying to improve the world. Government, healthcare, social media. I'm out. Bye. Look, I love you, brother, but guess what? Sorry. I'm not participating in it. Why? Because it's a corrupt world system, and my involvement in it is showing what? Avid support for a known problematic system. Is social media of any sort improving the world? Is it making the world a better place? In any stretch or form? Or is it just making people? Or, yeah, but are they making the world a better place? Maybe Twitter will be. Maybe. We'll see. But this is the problem. Christians in name only find themselves putting a lot of time and effort in the name of Christianity, in the government, into healthcare, into things, saying it's a good cause. It's for good reasons. It's for the betterment of humankind. It's for the betterment of the world. Look, if you're a Christian, a real Christian, and you care about the planet, what should you do? That's a good start. Plant a tree. Or stop throwing trash out your window. Right? Do the simple things that everybody and their mother has been doing since the day one. Care for it the way God told you to care for it. Right? That's it. That's how we do it. We should be actually removing ourselves from the things that actually are causing the death and destruction of the world. Not supporting it as though it's helpful. Lastly, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, Jesus. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Everybody's on board with that one, right? That was an awesome moment. Okay? So, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. What is this talking about? Obviously, the first part's talking about how we're redeemed in Jesus, right? That's a redemption, right? We've been redeemed. We've been bought with, paid for with a price, right? Okay. However, others will draw upon legalism to express how Christians should operate. How many people have heard these conversations? Well, you call yourself a Christian. Love this one. Then why do you celebrate Christmas? Huh? It's the birth. Well, yeah, but he wasn't really born on that day. Well, yeah, I know. It's just a symbolic holiday. Well, you know it's rooted in paganism, right? They're going to keep going. Do you see what I'm saying? Have anybody been experienced to these conversations before? Okay, if you've not experienced them, just start witnessing to some people at Christmas time. You'll hear all about them. Okay? They'll tell you everything about Christmas that you didn't need to know that is based in truth. But what did this scripture just tell you? What is all that measured under? It's all legalism, right? It's about facts, truth, facts, truth, facts, 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 facts. Now there's no more truth. It's just facts, 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 facts. That's legalism. Truth is what? Truth is what's in the Bible. Truth is also absolute. Facts are changing. Do you not notice that? History books are being rewritten. Facts are literally being fact. You were born a man. Okay. 21 years later, you cannot go back in time in your DeLorean and come out of the womb a female and say to the doctor, female, on your birth certificate. No, they're doing it anyway. Okay? So here's the point. Are facts facts? Not anymore. So legalism is going to get, and this is what it was talking about in Shadows of Things to Come, you can't count on facts to base anything off of anymore. You can only base it off of what? Truth. And you're redeemed. So you only have one source of truth. And that's the one that paid for you. Amen? Now, what is a Christian in name only doing? How are they handling this problem? I love this one, right? They will make provision for their faultiness by using the name of Christ. It's like, I get an excuse. Because after all, well, you're guilty too. And so are you, and you, and you, and you, because you all do this one thing too. So, don't judge me. Because you're all guilty too. Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah? Christian in name only. They believe they're Christians, but how dare you call them out for their abuse of alcohol, or their abuse of drugs, or their abuse of fill in the blank. Fill it in, whatever it is. You can't say something because you're deemed no longer able to say something because what they use is legalism to defuse you as a viable source. Right? It's a legal tactic, right? Anybody watch any of those like courts or stuff like that? What do lawyers usually try to do with, right? When you have a testimony that's really bad for your case, the immediate thing they try to do is discredit that testimony by ruining that person's integrity. If that person is deemed at all faulty, their whole testimony, which could be very convicting, gets tossed out because the jury views them as non-credible. Right? That's what Christians in name only are trying to do to you and I. They're trying to discredit you as viable in the ability to determine the difference, moral goods and evil, right? Because, well, you're not credible because you have these stains. Here's the catchiest part. Did anybody read the first verse of Colossians 2 while we were reading? Did anybody read it? I know it's not relative to this, but for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea and for the as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He's talking to the church in Colossae. And he referred to the church in Colossae as having great conflict similar to the church in Laodicea. Does anybody remember who the church of Laodicea? Where you remember them from most prominently? Because there's not a book of Laodicea, right? There's not a letter to the church of Laodicea. Did you notice that? There's nothing, right? You want to know where it's at? Where's it at? Revelations. Revelations 3, verse 15. Oh, hold on. Can you pull that? Was it verse 15? 14, sorry. 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Lord, amen to the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Is that a good thing? So what are we talking about? The lukewarm church is the Christian in name only church. The Laodicean church is literally the church of the Christians who are calling Christian by name only. Because they haven't made up their minds. I call on the name of Christ. Are you held to accountable to calling on the name of Christ? You absolutely are. But what are they doing? Nothing. Think about it. A Christian in name only is only busy about doing what for themselves, right? They're only worried about making themselves excused. That's all they care about. Using the name Christian is my get out of trouble card. I can associate here and I'm okay with Jesus because I call him Lord, so I'm good. That means I can still go out here and participate in all this worldliness. Cold. But I can also call on the name of the Lord when I know that, oh, I'm getting too close to the fire. I need to get out. So I'm going to go ahead and step back into the Christianity for a bit. We used to call them fence sitters. It's really uncomfortable sitting on a fence for a long period of time. You got one foot in the world. You got one foot in the kingdom. Right? What's their end? I'm pointing this out because consistently throughout Colossians and here in Revelations, you are finding out that they have a demise that is not becoming of Christians. Would you agree? Yeah. So what am I telling you? What I'm telling you is two things. One, God is not fooled by their claim. That's first. God's not fooled by your claim. If you're claiming Christ, you better step up to the plate, you better swing, and you better hit. Period. Because guess what? If you're just saying, oh, I'm here to play the game, but then you get called to the mound and you're like, nah, I'm all right. That looks a little dangerous. Oh, really? You're not that kind of Christian then, are you? There's your spot. The reality of this is that there's no production of fruit. Right? Hot or cold, neither, you're not producing anything. You're not doing anything. And I love the fact that God even said, look, I'd rather you be cold at this point. Just be in the world. Because you want to know what happens? If you're fully part of the world, guess what that means? You need what? You need salvation. That means somebody can come and tell you about the Lord and true conviction can happen and true redemption can happen. But as long as you're laying claim to something that you don't even believe in, you're not hot for him, that's for darn sure, but you're not even enough of the world for you to be redeemed. It's actually damaging. Do you see that? It's damaging. How many, now I'm not asking because I don't have facts, I don't have numbers up here, but take a guess. How many people do you think call on the name of Jesus, claim Christian beliefs, claim them, right? Know just enough to get themselves into this position, but they're going to have this fate. How many people do you think are in the church? How many people do you think you've talked to and tell you, oh, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, but that's their fate? Do you think maybe 20%? 30%? It's probably pretty darn high. And that's a sad attribution to the church. And you want to know why it's not going to get better? Because the church, the real church, is tolerating it. And they're not standing up for it. The reality of this, can you bring up the Galatians one real quick, Steve? Because I don't want to leave this out. But this is also just supporting, right? But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you've known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. This is again a heart of, this is a problem, right? What's the issue? They're turning back to their vomit. They're turning back to the things that they supposedly walked away from because, after all, coming to Jesus and being in God, it's good. But then what happens is when the season gets dry, they go back to the world because there's something here for me that I'm not fully satisfied yet. And I go back to get satisfied in the world, but then I come back to Jesus, then I go back and you're doing this. And you find yourself going to this point where it's just easier if I just stay here. Let's be honest. Christians in name only, probably the laziest people you'll ever meet. Fact? Would you agree? Because they don't want to move far. It's easier if I just keep one leg in the world and I keep the other one over here and I just bob and weave as I see fit. It's good. It's not good. It's not good. And when you know that a large portion of the church operates in this catalog of behavior, hear me. Why do you think Jesus hasn't come yet? Who's he coming for? He's coming for his bride, right? The pure spotless lamb. He's coming back for his bride with neither spot nor wrinkle. Look, no offense, right now the bride looks like a hot mess. A hot mess. If we're calling ourselves the bride of Christ, there's a lot more mud and wrinkles than there is pure white spots, would you say? Why isn't Christ coming? Because she's not ready. She's not ready. I'm not saying she's not being faithful to Christ, but I am saying that she's playing too much in the world and she's not getting her act together and becoming real enough to deal with her appearance to prepare herself for the bridegroom. And it's our responsibility. 2 Corinthians, and this is where we're going to close out. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. One scripture, and this is what technically this whole thing was built on. So this is the highlight scripture, if you want to highlight it. Everybody there? Examine yourselves. Whose responsibility is it? Ours. Hold on. Don't go too far. Don't go too far, because you're already going to go the wrong way, as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Look, I'm an honest guy. I've had your tests come to me in email, okay? I don't know what you're talking about, but I know it's rigged. Okay? It's an inside joke between me and Ed. But if everybody here, okay, could write their own test for themselves, you think you're going to fail it?
No.
Why? Because you already know the answers. So when it says examine yourselves, test yourselves, there's an S at the end of yourselves. It's not yourself, singular. It's yourselves, plural. Guess what that means? It's one giant big word that begins with the letter A. Accountability. Accountability. That means that I am going to examine you all as much as you all should examine me to see if I am in the faith as much as I am seeing if you are all in the faith. Why? Because I don't want you to be the Laodicean church. Do you want me to be in that church? No. I don't want you to be there. So if I don't want that for myself and you don't want that for yourself, why don't we start saying, hey, let's hold each other accountable. Let's stand up for righteousness together. Amen? We test ourselves. Do you not know yourselves? That's actually a question. And the answer to that question is that Jesus Christ is in you. Why is that there? Did anybody ever think about that? I think about these things. Do you notice I think about these things? I ponder a lot when I meditate on scripture. And things just like that are where I melt my brain. You might go, oh, that's not that deep. Oh, it is. It's deeper than you think it is. First of all, that means that that's a problem. I need to test myself to see if Christ is in me. How often should I do this test? Every day, every minute. But I'm not giving you that answer. That's where you guys can go find that answer out. Unless indeed you are disqualified. That part should frighten every single one of you. Why does that part hurt so much? Because it's the moniker that tells you, if you're disqualified, what are you? How many people would say right now, I'm a Christian in name only? Nobody, right? We all didn't raise our hands. We're not that, right? We're true Christians, right? We're the true believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, then do the test. Whoa. Hold on a second. Well, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid you're disqualified? And here's the bigger part. If you're disqualified, what can you not do? You're going to find a cataclysmic problem as to why somebody said 70%. I think it was you, right? You said 70%. You might be more right than wrong. It's probably up there. But do you know why it got that high? Because if you're disqualified, how can you hold somebody accountable? You can't test somebody to something that you yourself are not doing. So what does this really mean? What does this message come full circle to? Because I'm talking to a bunch of true believers. I believe that. I believe wholeheartedly that we all want to do the right thing for God. Amen? Amen. If we're not getting our acts together and we're not sure of what we believe and lining up with God's word, we're running ourselves into a dangerous position, because what we become is fodder for the Christians in name only to basically back themselves and continue to do what they're doing. And you also have lost any chance of credibility to call them out on their stuff. And the change that you want to bring into the house of God and fix, you're no longer able to do. So that's step one. We need to get ourselves right. Amen. It starts here with me, and it goes out to all of you. Am I perfect? No, but you know what? If I mess up, you want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it right. It might have been something stupid and silly with a calendar of events, but you know what? I'm going to own my mistake, and I'm going to make it right. Because I don't want to bring confusion. And I don't want anybody to be left in a lurch. I want to be a person of integrity. Why? Because only people of integrity are going to be able to tell those who don't have it that they don't have it. You can't call out what you see when you can't see it. Because you can't even see it in yourself. That's step one. Step two. If we don't have that problem, and we're good, by good I mean good with God. Amen? And not that good with God that you can go with him. Not that part. You're still here. Okay? Yeah, let's go with God. You're right. If that is you, then take this scripture to heart and start seeing the opportunities when they present themselves, and don't agree to disagree. That should never be an utterance out of our mouths ever again. We don't agree to disagree. I disagree with you. You're wrong. I'm sorry. It's not going to be an argument. It's called, this is the living word of God. It is not a written book that you get to call out whenever it's convenient for you to excuse poor behavior. It's living. That means if it's not convicting you, that means your relationship's out of whack. If it doesn't bring conviction, then their problem is they're not relating to God at all. They're busy using it as a tool to excuse their behavior. Call them out. Call them out. I'm not saying get so bombastic that you're going in there into a house and they're claiming they know Jesus and they're acting like fools and behaving rudely and obnoxiously and swearing and doing all kinds of stuff. And you go in there and be like, you know what? I don't think you need these. And just take their Bibles out of their house. I'm not saying do that. That's dramatic. But while you're there, grab their Bible and say, why are you acting like this? Do you not know? God says. Well, you say you're believers in Jesus. I'm sorry. No, you're not. Because I believe in Jesus and my Bible tells me this and that's not the correct behavior. Whoa. Look, I'm not apologizing. I'm calling you out. It's not going to be an easy road. Do we agree? It's going to be tough. There might be some people that you know, that you relate with on a regular basis, because they, after all, are Christian. But you're going to have some hard conversations with them that might mean you might not see them as frequently anymore. Are you willing to make that line in the sand for the testimony of Jesus? Are you willing to call it out when you see it? Because guess what? If we don't start somewhere, it's just going to be like a plague and it's just going to keep going. What's the objective? Do you not recognize it's an insidious plan by the devil to de-weaponize Christianity? That's all it is. You have no power and authority if you're a victim. You're just like everybody else. Being a Christian is an honor and a privilege that we get to represent Jesus. Do we agree? It's an honor and a privilege. This means that we also need to clean house. We represent individually, of course, but we represent the fullness of Christ collectively. This is what I meant by the bride. The church is who he's coming back for, without spot or wrinkle. If that's the case, then we need to deal with the spots and the wrinkles. If we are one, then we better take this warning. You will be held accountable to demonstrate the character of Christ. I'm calling us out. That means if the character of Christ is not coming out or you're acting unbecomingly, you're going to hear it from me. I'm going to call you out. That's your warning. Is everybody okay with me warning you now and letting you know that if I see it, I'm calling it out? Are you okay with it? All right. Why? Why do I care so much? Because everybody in here just put their hands up and profess that they're going to operate this way. You've given me permission. Okay? Deal? You've all given me permission. If you've been tested and you've been proven and you stand for Christ and you're not going to back down, then I'm going to ask you to make no room for the enemy by tolerating any attempts to water down your faith and go fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Because it's going to be a battle. Are you ready? Stand up. Stand up. Stand up, soldiers. Stand up. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we just put our hands up to you right now, God. We surrender anything, God, that would try to rob, steal, or destroy anything that you are building in our lives, God. We are surrendered to you and you alone, God. We give our lives freely to you, God. We put to death the things of this world, God, the snares and the traps, everything that is designed to try and put us in a position, God, that would remove us and disqualify us, God, from being able to march out in faith and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that each one here right now, God, would be fully and thoroughly equipped for every good and perfect work that you are preparing for them, God. And I pray as they're released, God, into the world, God, that they are that beacon of light in darkness, God. And there is no room for settling, God. There is no room for debate, God. They are standing on the word of truth. That is all they are standing on. They are not going to the left or going to the right. They are standing and operating with you and in you, Jesus. So, Lord, have your good and your perfect way with each and every one of us, God, as we go about cleaning out the house, cleaning out Just like you threw out all the money changers and all the collectors, God, out of the house of God, Father, I pray, Lord, that your people here would have that same earnest desire to clean house in the same way, God. Not tolerant, not accepting, but standing, Father, firm and on your word. May we go and do what you have called us to do, God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
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 Go get them. Go get them.